there's
where's the money coming from? Like,
JPal.
Print harder.
They're printing money to backstop the bad debt to make these banks not fall over. So they said that there was already $300 billion that's been printed to backstop bad debt. They're not going to have enough money to pay for things because everything that's been denominated in dollars is now becoming inflated. But these other countries... Guys, welcome to the Crypto Sparta podcast. We've had some things happening. There's been
a lot of uncertainty and, you know, just disarray, just chaos in general, honestly.
I have some of the memes and I'll show them maybe bit by bit over time, but I've been talking about it with my MBA group about how the dollar, I mean, so there's the...
So shaky.
There's the... I think it's Captain Phillips or something with Tom Hanks, where the Somali pirates. Yeah, where it's like, I'm the captain now. And then
look at me.
But on his face, they have the dollar and it's like, look at me. I'm the shit coin now.
Yeah, so it's like crazy uncertainty. You know, we talked about the banks failing last time, and now they got a bailout.
But I mean, there's.
Where's the money coming from? Like,
JPal.
Print harder.
So there's like some crazy graphs where like all the influx of money coming in just eliminated like any gains the raising of the rates did to fight inflation.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, the raising of the rates is going to fight inflation, but the bad debt is now, I was explaining to Brian how the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve is increasing because they're printing money to backstop the bad debt to make these banks not fall over. So they said that there was already $300 billion that's been printed to backstop bad debt because of the increased balance sheet on the Federal Reserve. But the estimates are that it could go up to $2 trillion. In the midterm, short term, it'll be another $600 billion. We're increasing the monetary supply of the dollar. And like, there was someone who was like, you know what? Like, Bitcoin is a scam. Satoshi's going to come back and increase it from 21 million to like more. And it was like,
well, this is,
they've been pulling out the FUD.
This uncertainty kind of like, this leads to our next thing with Balaji and his.
Balaji. Come on, Brian.
Balaji. Whatever.
Wow. That was cringe. Balaji. Whatever. I think he's American, but he's an Indian guy. Balaji.
Well, and he Balaji made a $1 million bet that BTC will go to a million based off just hyperinflation.
And hyper-Bitcoinization is what he's really saying, is that the big thing, and I mean, we can go back to, we talked about it with Saylor. There is no second best.
Yeah.
His idea is not that everyone is going to start using Bitcoin. It's just that if the dollar loses its reserve status,
it'll be the
status,
best option.
Well, what he's talking about is not the average normie people buying Bitcoin. It's going to be countries or large corporations.
El Salvador.
Yeah. El Salvador is just the first. But the big thing is, and then that's like, I think, who was it? I actually spoke with him a couple times. Majin. I haven't seen him on Twitter as much, but the Saudis are bidding. Like, that's always like the, oh.
Or China's bidding.
Yeah.
It's also,
yeah,
like
China's bidding. And yeah.
It's, where there's always that meme where they're like watching, they're like manipulating the price and they're all cheering when Bitcoin goes down. Or yeah. Like,
but no, the idea is that if like sovereign wealth funds lose faith in the dollar and move to Bitcoin, it would only take a few large players that are institutional. Rather than just like the GameStop army and the apes, you know, like it's more the idea of like the thing that's happening with inflation and we can go to crypto more, but it really is important on what's happening with crypto.
Well, this is the whole thing where it's like, is dollar unsafe, where it's like, oh, cash is not king anymore. Maybe I need to rotate into Bitcoin.
But the thing is, with all the dollar, it's kind of like there's this saying about socialism and capitalism, and it's like capitalism is not a good system until you look at every other system that's been tried.
Yeah, it's the best of what we
got. The dollar is not the best currency. But the thing is, the whole world trusts the dollar more than their local currency.
Everything is denominated in dollars.
Exactly. And so then the debt is denominated in dollars. The Federal Reserve is fighting inflation, and they're murdering the rest of the world. Literally, people are dying. I was just reading an article about how in 2008, when they printed money, the change in inflation causes a problem with other people's debt and money. And they said that it might have led to the Arab Spring. Now there are people in Europe who are protesting in the streets because they're having to change policies. In France, they're raising the retirement rate for 2 years from 62 to 64. There are people protesting around the world. They're not going to have enough money to pay for things because everything that's been denominated in dollars is now becoming inflated. But these other countries, the inflation is worse. And so the dollar is gaining on them. But if everything is trading in dollars and their country is even, and the thing is, it's not that they're more irresponsible, but the Federal Reserve increasing the borrowing rates, everybody who had debt at certain rates and then now needs to pile on more debt. Look, a business, a country, a person, okay, I have a running line of credit. Yeah, I have it for 10, 5 years or whatever. But I am constantly, as a business owner, you're paying back debt and taking out more debt. And you didn't project that the cost of the debt would increase. This is what's happening to all the banks, and this is what's happening to these other countries. They have 5 or 10 year debt at low rates, but they don't have the money to pay it off. So they need to take out new loans that are way more expensive. This is what's really happening to the banks. And it's really hard to explain, but I try to do things in layman's terms. When the new debt comes on, like, no one's taking out mortgages now. It used to be that
who's
the market
buying houses.
Nope. And who's giving up their mortgage? Because if mortgage rates were stable.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a perfect example, because think of a house. You buy a small house, a starter house. You have a wife, a kid, little dog. You got another kid on the way. You've made some more money. You've gone up the corporate ladder. You want a bigger house. My rate is 2%. Rates now are 5%. I'm not leaving my house. Okay. So what are the implications of that? You don't take on new debt. You don't buy the new bigger house. People aren't buying houses. People aren't moving. So those starter houses that people are stuck in, they're not selling. So the whole market grinds to a halt. But imagine instead of houses, these are countries.
Yeah. There's no movement. So that leads to like the other like global thing where it's like Russia and China are making deals to, you know, to denominate in the yuan instead of US dollars for, like, you know, certain parts of the country.
So for energy, people are going to start avoiding the dollar. And this is like a history lesson that I learned recently. People know maybe Muammar Gaddafi. In America, they talk about how he was a horrible person. And he has definitely done atrocities and was like a war criminal or whatever. Hillary Clinton was very happy. Joe Rogan jokes about it, how we came, we conquered, he's dead. And she laughs. This guy apparently tried to do the same thing that is happening now with China and Russia, where he wanted to stop trading in the dollar. They all had oil and he wanted to create a Pan-African currency or a trading bloc. And then there are suspicions that that's why he was killed, was because he was trying to get away from the globalized dollar petrol. Most things are run by the dollar, and then the dollar is mainly used to trade natural resources and energy, but it also is used to trade everything else. But it's very important that the global oil markets are traded in dollars. And so then the thing is, everybody is using dollars. The Federal Reserve controls the monetary supply. They lend money to the government. The government's been running deficits and increasing. It's unsustainable. But everybody else gives us their money in their own currency, or they trade their goods in dollars because it's the gold standard now. If the yuan, if people stop trading in dollars, if people trade their dollars away, if they sell their dollars and lower the value of dollars to, you know, supply demand, then the dollars would be more and more worthless the less people trade in dollars. If the rest of the world stopped caring, and the thing is, the value of the dollars that we gave them is decreasing because we're printing more currency. But each of those countries then in turn has to print more currency to buy more dollars. In India, I used to live there. and I still have my company and my employees there. When I was there, it was 62 rupees to a dollar. About a year ago, I believe it was 72. Now, anything that's imported to India that's from America or that's denominated in dollars is more expensive for them. That means they buy less of it. That means that there's inflation. That means there's less money for other stuff. Now, I just recently paid some of my employees. It's 82 rupees to the dollar. We talk about how there's inflation over here and the dollar is inflating and losing its value. But these other currencies are doing even worse. Exactly. Because they owe money in dollars. And so if the whole world is still stuck on dollars.
I think the yen is also like declining super hard.
It is. And in each country, the way that these levers are used is you can print money, which increases the monetary supply and does inflation. Or you can lower rates to allow people to borrow more money, which causes additional other problems. Because, you know, then that also increases the flow of money, but it makes it that your yields when you're saving make less. These are like complicated things, but these are actually basic things with math and economics. But a lot of people aren't paying attention or understanding what's going on. And I'm just trying to explain to people there's a few levers. And the thing is, we can bring it back to crypto.
It's like the faucet. You turn on the faucet.
In 2008, a lot of people got hurt. When America sneezes, the whole world gets a cold. We're sneezing right now. Europe is getting hammered. There are protests around the world. There are people in the streets in Paris. There are countries raising their retirement levels. There are all these little dials that are having to adjust for the fact that J-POW is jacking up rates and the dollar is inflating.
Yeah, even with the bank bailout, you know, J-POW increased the rates to, 0.25. And so that was kind of like even keel for the market. That's why we saw, such a crab this past week.
But what we're saying was that we're screwing over the rest of the world that's denominated in dollars. There is a lot of pain around the world, but the pain is actually diffused to the foreign people that have to deal with a dollar world, and then their currency is not strong enough, and then they're getting screwed almost even worse than us. But the people that still have money are wondering, I shouldn't just hold dollars.
Exactly.
Now the case for Bitcoin.
Do I want to be in Bitcoin? Do I want to be in ETH with all this uncertainty? Like, I'm in that, do I question, what should I, cash no longer?
Gold has apparently been going up relative to other stuff. Silver, physical items, collectibles. Also, certain stocks. The thing is, the economy is getting screwed as well. Because inflation hurts the consumers, there's less money to spend. But the idea is that as everything inflates, as long as you hold assets that will be denominated in the inflated currency, one Microsoft share is going to be one Microsoft share. One McDonald's burger is one McDonald's burger. One can of beans is one can of beans. So if in 5 years that can of beans is $20 instead of three or five, you still have the can of beans. You still have the Microsoft share. So what is a safe hold? But if there's a recession, those Microsoft shares are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
But the can of beans is always a can of beans. A chunk of gold, a Rolex is a Rolex.
So, yeah, especially with like all this uncertainty, where to put your money in. Like there's this huge fight between, fiat and in crypto right now. And like even because, with all the uncertainty with the federal banks, there's this, rotation into crypto. So obviously you're gonna want to hurt on crypto or hate on crypto. And so there's this huge fight with crypto, and the Federal Reserve and just the government. And so Coinbase got, served papers, the Wells notice, with their staking with ETH, saying ETH is a security, kind of like leaning in with that KuCoin lawsuit from the New York Attorney General. And so the Wells notice basically, insinuates that they're going to get sued, by the US government regarding crypto. And so the fight for regulation is on right now. There's all this uncertainty and, people leaning towards crypto and the US government trying to ban crypto because they want to keep the dollar strong.
So it's hard to see, but it's I can show. Choose your fighter right here.
Brian Armstrong.
Brian Armstrong. And then on the other side, Gary Gensler. So
what was that meme where it was like, oh, the U.S. has $2.9 billion?
Yeah, the SEC has $2.9 billion, and Brian Armstrong is worth $3.1
billion. So, fair fight. Let's go.
They're going to take it to the mat. Like, Brian Armstrong is like, we tried to comply.
Well, the Coinbase is the most U.S. compliant crypto company.
They do everything
like,
they can.
It's publicly traded stock, like, on the new, like, you can't say that about Gemini. You can't say that about Kraken. Like, it's the
and
most
they don't compliant. Do the shady FTX stuff. They're not like loving
there was,
out.
There was some shady shit.
They're trying
the
to do some staking.
There's some insider trading with the coin.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's not like.
Well, I won't absolve them.
Yeah, completely. They're not absolved completely, but you can definitely say they're the most like U.S. compliant. Being a publicly
and they
traded
talk
company.
About it how they try. They post the letters. They've written to the SEC. They've done everything they can.
They've asked questions like, oh, why, what are your reasons why you think.
Why can't we do like a Coinbase earn, like a Gemini earn?
They don't
why
provide any, they don't provide any feedback or, like, and you they know, they're going to work with the government, but the government just doesn't want to give any answers. It's like.
And then, so there are foreign countries as well where they're trying to clamp down on crypto. They're increasing taxes on crypto. They're making it harder to on and off ramp. So when I say on and off ramp, it basically means to take your money and to purchase crypto. But it's because they're scared. We got them on their heels. Like, come on. And then with the banking crisis, I again, with my MBA friends, I have these memes and stuff where it's like, hey, guys, let's all play this prank on our bankers. April 1st, we all take out all of our money.
Let's make a bank run, guys. But it's like
it's so true though. It's so true
with the dogs where it's like raising rates, you know, crypto or it's like banking the banks, and then it's
it's like
the
it's
dog
like,
fucking
yeah yeah
fucking
they're
the
like all fucking
his yeah. PayPal
yeah yeah, and I mean yeah the banks are just getting brutalized
yeah so
but fuck banks.
But
your
it's also
bank.
The regional banks, too, are getting fucked the most because they're bailing out.
So
I saw
one thing where it was in terms of deposits, it was roughly 900 billion deposits were withdrawn from banks. But the big banks, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Chase, et cetera, they increased their deposits by 300 billion. So it's a shift and a centralization that's going to the big banks. That have already been discussed that they're backstopped by the Federal Reserve. Janet Yellen said, anything that is a systemic risk, we will backstop. These bankers are playing around and making their money with dumb bets. They get paid tons of money. And if they fail, the government bails them out. And then at the end of the day, it's the taxpayer paying either through their taxes that backstop this and then the increase in the debt of the government. Or the taxpayer is paying in inflation. So the everyday person is getting screwed. These bankers fail at their job, but it doesn't matter. And the people who are trading in dollars in Africa, Asia, Europe are getting screwed over because of our domestic policy. I just think that's a succinct way of saying it. And people, I was flummoxed. I've been actually starting a new daytime job. We spoke to the CEO because he just did a little call-in. And he was talking about this. I was talking about it. No one else is talking about it. Do people know Balaji bet big time on hyper-Bitcoinization, not because the average person is going to get into Bitcoin, but because these sovereign funds are going to get into Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's no longer about getting normies to buy crypto. No. It's about,
it's about like the dollar is untrustworthy.
Yeah.
The Chinese and the Russians are going to forget about the dollar and trade between themselves.
Yeah.
And if the dollar loses its reserve status, it's going to be anarchy, chaos. It's going to be hyperinflation everywhere. It's
We're just
be,
living in uncertain
it's
times.
It's
going to
be Weimar Germany. Yeah. And it's like the other meme that I have that I like. It's you guys have seen Pirates of the Caribbean, where it's like, do you think you're in a horror story? Like, you better start believing in horror stories.
Yeah.
Because you're in one. But it's that guy, but he's like, do you believe in black swan events? Because you're in one.
You're living in one.
And it's like, for millennials, this is our third, or what? Yeah, third black swan event.
Yeah, we're fucked.
It's 2008. Oh, wow. This stuff never happens. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Then
three
COVID.
Times.
Yeah. And then COVID triggers another banking crisis.
Just let me breathe.
Yeah.
But so, like, that's enough macro. Like,
yeah, yeah. We can move on to
some exciting news, you know, back to the good old days, airdrops. Arbitrum released a token. People got airdrops. Like, there was all this, like, commotion over leverage trading, like, you know, speculating on the price. Like, there are some OTC deals. Arbitrum at 9, but it opened at, like, 1.3. So it was, like, crazy.
The whole thing was that also illegal again to get in the U.S. if you don't have a VPN and if you don't circumvent the rules. Thanks, Gensler. Thanks for protecting me from these airdrops.
Yeah.
Thank the SEC. Like, airdrops are illegal because I really don't know why. Elizabeth Warren, probably Pocahontas.
Wait, are they actually illegal in the
U.S.? You're not allowed to trade in certain things and then also get airdrops and stuff.
Dude, honestly, like, I feel like they don't enforce that.
They don't. No, but you need to have a VPN, and then I think they enforce it if it's enough money.
Because, like, we've got kind of airdrops, SOS airdrops. It's so, like, minuscule money. By the time you're holding it, it's, like, $5. It's, like, is it even worth, like, reporting at that point?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were some people, like, you know, I think only, like, 4,400 got, like, I think the highest amount you could have gotten was 10,000 Arbitrum. 10,000. So that, you know, at $9.
But people had multiple wallets.
Yeah.
It is an interesting case study.
But only 4,400 got 10,000.
In the idea of airdrops, though, and to explain to, like, the listeners, because a lot of normies don't understand the idea of airdrops or the way that it works. And then
it's a reward system for using their platform ecosystem. So
it's an incentive.
You buy, sell, trade on there. It's an incentive. It's just like reward points on a credit card.
Basically. Yeah. And so they did it in a certain way where they capped the top, though, because, like, then it's not that you're just having whales farm it. Because otherwise, rich people could just move millions back and forth and then take all the rewards for themselves.
No one got a six-figure airdrop. The max you could have gotten was 90,000. I think the OTC price, someone got, like, $9. Mm-hmm. That was the max.
Yeah. No. I mean, when you were trading OTC, it was interesting how this works. OTC, by the way, is over the counter, where it's, like, person-to-person. Rather than through
background deals.
Backroom deals, yeah. Background, backroom.
Whatever.
Yeah. But
background. You don't know it.
The way that the OTC deals actually happen is that the person who has the Arbitrum escrows 40% of the funds, and then the person trying to buy from them escrows their 100% of the funds. And then until the Arbitrum is transacted, the person that has the Arbitrum doesn't get their 40% back. And then the 100% of the sale doesn't go to the person. So that was, like, an interesting little mechanic that I learned about where people were doing OTC Arbitrum deals. And then, yeah, the Arbitrum apparently had issues where on the day of, it wasn't properly being distributed. It was, like, slow. And then, like, 20% of people got it first, but then it, like, slowly trickled out. So there was a bit of a fumble with the airdrop not happening all at once. And so, yeah, milk bags got out right away. Size Chad is, like, a spokesperson for Arbitrum. So that was just, like, an interesting, the actual data, the mechanics, and then how people were trading beforehand, and then when they started trading and what the liquidity was on different.
Yeah. So this kind of like triggered, you know, sparked the interest in airdrops. And now there's speculation on, like, you know, what's the next airdrop? ZK rollups.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? ZK sync. You're talking about ZK rollups.
And now people are saying
it's ZK just like a trigger word. You don't know what ZK
is getting farmed to shit.
Yeah, we don't know what ZK rollups are, but ZK sync apparently is getting farmed. And so maybe that is something to look out for. We're not the smartest in crypto, but we just, you know that's happening.
Yeah, but in other news, yeah, Doquan.
So this is, like, the fun part, just the funny part of crypto, where the memes come out. And so, like, Doquan got arrested in Montenegro, which is kind of like, why is he not?
Just go somewhere where you're not getting arrested.
Yeah, go to Idiot. Bali, buddy Gabe.
Capo Verde.
Just, like, why Montenegro? Like, why Eastern European? Like,
Andrew also, Tate? Like, why not just get your face surgeried?
Nah, dude, you don't want to do that, dude. That's
actually, if I'm that big of a criminal, if I've lost billions of dollars of
country, that's like an identity crisis, dude. It, like, fucks up your mental, dude.
I don't know. I saw this one thing I sent it to Brian. It was a Canadian guy who had like, what was it, 30 million that he kind of embezzled, 23-year-old kid.
Oh, shit.
Dude got ransomed, got picked up in his Canadian hometown.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah, because he got
and
so
Doquan
much
was dirty. Billions. Like, I don't get how just one of the whoever many millions of people haven't just like murked these guys that just.
But think about it, like who outside of crypto, which is also a very small community, is going to be like, that's Doquan. Like he's worth billions, like Merkel in Montenegro.
I'm just surprised that there aren't like rich, bitter crypto people that lost millions.
That just hired a hitman and just be like,
that's literally what
find this guy and kill him.
They always say it's always like, I was seeing Charlie Munger, who's like a giant FUDder. And he's just like, I don't even think it should be legal. This is like horrible. And he's like, it just helps like murderers,
criminals, dealers.
And it's like,
that's the okay boomer.
Yeah,
okay boomer.
He's the right hand man for.
But there's a funny meme
for Buffett, yeah. And then he just hates crypto.
Same with Buffett too, but yeah. Munger more. And there's Munger, like he should just die. He's like 95. Like,
well, it just. It makes
like,
me think
why of, does he care? Yeah. Like, he's, like, living his last life.
It makes me think of this meme where it's, like, and there's a couple of them, actually, where people, like, back in the day, people would trade, and then they would use certain things as currency that were, like, just naturally occurring or whatever. And then you can avoid taxes if you make up your own currency. And so it's, like, the idea was, like, yeah, you know, we just trade using bottle caps. And, like, you know, I just, like, buy a couple coconuts from my neighbor and pay a couple bottle caps. And then he buys local wine or, like, fucking eggs or whatever from me using bottle caps. And then the meme is, like, it's, like, on the one hand, it's, like, a pigeon. And it was, like, U.S. government. And it was, like, all right, cool. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then in the second one, it's, like, an angry pigeon. It's, like, give me those bottle caps. Like, if we all just stop using the dollar, if we all stop using digital, if we all just traded in cash and never reported anything, the government's fucked. And so if you just make up your own currency and like there's also the other memes where it's like, I will trade my neighbor honey and then he will help me build a swing. And then it's like the IRS being like, how do I tax this?
How do I monetize, make money off
of it? Yeah, like, how do I like... Why aren't you registering your transactions? Honey. Yeah, exactly.
Into the honey.
What is the value of your honey? You're like, how much are you giving? And what is, how many hours of labor? And it's like the idea of just crypto undermining the people that run these systems.
Where it's like a turning point where it's like you could go all in either way and win or lose. Where it's like you can go... you know, change all your money into crypto or Bitcoin and just like, oh, the banking system collapsed and you crypto ends up going crazy. Or you could just stay in cash and like get, you know.
Have you seen that meme of
the banks just go on as usual, like get bailed out as usual?
It's the person, it's like they're in like a church or something and there's a person in a pew sitting and then behind them there's someone with a gun to their head. But then behind them, there's someone with a gun to their head.
And then there's a guy.
And then there's the guy with like the sniper rifle. And it's like the average person living paycheck to paycheck. And then behind them, it's like the government, like the local government, like using their tax funds to like live like year to year. And then like behind, it's like the government, like living year to year and like debt ceiling increase to debt ceiling increase. And then the person with the sniper is like the United States, like living war to war. And really, the thing with Gaddafi that I had brought up earlier that is like more to now, they were threatened that people were going to stop using dollars to sell oil. The United States government is somewhat tied to the corporations. This is obvious. And I don't want to get super conspiratorial. But I mean, these are obvious facts. Like all the money going to Ukraine is coming right back to spend on weapons. The US makes a shit ton of money making weapons and threatening people to not stop using the dollar. And literally the idea of the dollar, what backs the dollar? Trust in the government. What does the government have to offer? they can say like roads, like get the fuck out of here. I don't know. I'm a bit of a libertarian. I'm going to be honest about it, where I stand politically, like starve the beast. There's too much of them. But the idea is that the American government is a bully saying that you need to use my seashells or you need to use my bottle caps and I need to tax you on everything. They're really screwed if you don't do anything. But the thing is, if you don't use their system, they'll fucking bring all of those F-50s. They're going
to
drone
you. That's why
you.
They're trying to get
crypto. What happened to Iraq? What happened to Gaddafi?
It gives people options.
You don't want to use the dollar?
Don't fuck with the U.S.
The
government.
The big dick of the law, the IRS,
they
the
see
police.
Crypto as a threat.
Yeah.
It's not because, like, of all the lies they're saying.
And
like,
there's some suspicion that the U.S. has the largest store of Bitcoin in the world.
They did confiscate the largest hack.
They've confiscated a ton, and then they say they sell it, but how much do they actually have or own? Or if it's the government,
what if Bitcoin goes to a million and they're just they have all this Bitcoin and that like gets them out of like their debt? Like they just have, thousands of Bitcoin and they can just sell it when Bitcoin's a million and that just like absolves their debt.
The thing is, they would never absolve the debt. And then the thing is, the debt
exactly
is actually backed
by
the taxpayer.
They want to keep it broken.
Yeah, we're going to the Matrix, guys.
Yeah.
Like, right. I mean, I'm being facetious. I'm being playful and joking.
Right,
but to a certain point, look, the U.S. government, the people that work for the government don't care. And then
they just want a piece of the pie.
No, the people that work for the government, they care about the people that pay to get them into the government, which are their corporations. The corporations care about having the government treat them well. They care more about each other than about the everyday person. The corporations include the banks. So there's the banks, the corporations, the government. They're all in cahoots. They don't care that the taxpayer is dealing with inflation as long as they all get paid.
Yep.
And they're all getting paid. All of them. Look at these people. They're all rich. There was somebody talking. There was one meme. It was Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Okay, there are these two guys. They say they don't agree with each other. One of them has dementia, and the other one is a socialist. Both of these men have never had a normal job in their life. They've been in politics for over, 50, 60 years?
Yeah.
They're both millionaires, and they argue with each other about policy. Bro, these guys are millionaires.
You're not a millionaire. If you're actually socialist, you're not a millionaire.
And if you're a politician, but you're really rich, but politicians don't get paid much, A plus B equals what?
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi,
yeah.
Greatest trader of all time. Like AOC.
Incredible.
AOC, how is she able to invest into a $1 million company with only making $106,000?
So she got in trouble for taking the tax the rich. This is actually really funny. The AOC dress that she wore to the Met Gala, which is a very expensive invite-only party.
Yeah.
How much is that worth just to get invited to that?
Six figures. $100,000.
And then you talk about the earned media. Her profile increases.
Yeah.
She's rubbing shoulders with rich people. But she got a dress that said tax the rich that a high-class designer made for her. Probably 5-10, whatever, X amount. I mean, it's AOC. It's probably worth even more because she wore it. She got like a very expensive dress donated to her. That's a contribution that she didn't register.
Yeah, that's like technically gift giving. You know, you're a federal government employee.
Tax the rich. You just got
That's a bribe.
You just got a free ticket to an expensive party with a free dress that's expensive.
That's a bribe.
From a rich person. That's a very, very talented. You're not paying for that dress. How much would that dress have cost? $20,000. How much would those tickets have cost? You can't even get those tickets. You only get invited. She's wearing an expensive $20,000 tax the rich dress to a private party with rich and famous people.
That's a bribe.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So, like, you know, your idols are not your, like, you know.
Well,
heroes aren't your idols or something.
I just like the idea of like throwing up the Monopoly board. I actually was part of a Monopoly game that happened. I was playing with my cousins when I was like a teenager. And one of my cousins, we'd been doing it for like 2 or 3 days. There was cheating. People were arguing. It was just a rough Monopoly game. And literally one of the cousins just threw up the board. I'm done. And that's the idea of hopefully maybe Bitcoin, where you're just like, no more dollars, no more government. I'm just done. Fuck this game.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Right. But we can shift. Yeah, exactly. We've been digressing, but I think that we've gotten some good stuff because
all this uncertainty leads to all this speculation and like, you know, all these fun things. And so we can go to NFTs, or what do you want to do?
I'm going to go to NFTs. And then the way I wanted to was this one post that was really funny. I don't know if it was edited or not, but it's one of those where if you're on Twitter, you know, sometimes how the algorithm, somebody will tweet and then below they'll tweet. And then you just are like, wow, the algorithm is on point right now.
Yeah.
So I'll show it here. It's horrible with the glare, but. There's Gainsy and Based Carbon.
And it's backwards, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you, it's always...
Yeah, I don't care. It's just a... But Gainsy is like, imagine being trapped in ugly JPEGs while Bitcoin is mooning. What are you even going to tell your kids when they ask why you held digital meme collectibles whilst the hardest money on earth turbo mooned? And then Davis is like, how will you tell your grandchildren that you spent $28,000 on corn instead of buying undervalued rare blockchain collectibles?
This is actually like we're living in history where it's like, you know, people when you're younger were, oh, it's like, oh, my family got rich off the .com era.
Or like my family, my like, dad bought 10 boards.
Yeah. This is like the new wave where it's like, instead of internet, web domains, you are like Microsoft. You and
I'm a Shiba Inu millionaire. Yeah,
I'm a Kanbei pin.
Yeah,
Pudgy Penguin.
The funniest is like, it's just like, what if you just picked the one thing that 10x'd, but you just put size in? And the thing that I've never thought to do, or I was talking about it with my dad, where it's like with the JPEGs, you know, with the NFTs, you buy three of them, you get one, and then when it goes up enough, you like sell it so that like the price of the three is nothing.
Yes.
And then your second one, like you profit a lot and you sell it. And then that's like you have your profits. And then the third one is your forever to hold on to because you actually want to keep it. But imagine you're the person who's like, so Franklin is bored. He is the bored ape whale.
You just bought a bunch of rocks.
105 Pudgy Penguin rocks.
What does that mean?
And like, in my mind,
Penguins filed trademark.
I have a mental block. I couldn't bare-faced, like straight-faced, tell someone like I just bought 105 rods. But in another way, they're just like, well, no, I put like a 10% of my net worth bet, or like I just did this trade, and I'm like I'm buying all these rods, and I'm expecting them to go up. But like to be like I have I've been joking with people. I have three Pudgy Penguin rods, and one of them is rare. I'm like, yeah, they've been going up. I have $5,000 worth of Pudgy Penguin rods. Like, that just sounds dumb. I don't know. And then to say that you have 105 or you just bought 105, you're like, I have 20, but I'm underexposed. I need more Pudgy Penguins. I need more Kanpai Pandas.
The rocks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But NFTs have been wild because it's been a real shaking out where – when ETH took a dip, a lot of NFTs dumped. And then in this uncertain or also like kind of uneasy and also dipping marketplace, people are trying to get a bit safe. And that's why people are moving to Bitcoin. This is the funny thing is the dollar we've been saying might not be safe, but NFTs are not safe by any means.
Nothing is safe. So no. It's like,
and so then people are like, let's just buy Bitcoin because it won't go to zero like everything else.
It won't go to zero.
Bitcoin is digital gold. And it's starting to feel that way where it's like, look, if you put your money into Bitcoin, it's not going to disappear. But if you put your money in the stock market, it might disappear.
Yeah.
If you just hold dollars, it's going to disappear eventually. Inflation is going to eat that up. If you put it into housing, that's pretty safer, but then there's a lot of steps. But some stocks can puke. Some stocks can get dicked. The overall stock market can get dicked. You put your money in banks? Oh, banks are safe? Banks are not fucking safe. NFTs are not safe either.
Yeah, nothing's safe. It ain't safe.
Some of them are safer than others. So I wanted to get to this Doodles thing because it was just a... They were worth so much money. Yeah. Like $50,000.
At least floor. 5 ETH.
Yeah, 5 ETH floors. And then they told their holders, hey, we're not an NFT company anymore. We're a media company. And then people were like, what? And then people started dumping. And then someone talked shit to the founder. And the founder said, it's funny, but it's just not a good move. But he's just like, on Discord, someone was just like, dude, I don't like what you're doing or blah, 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 or whatever. Like something, something, FUD. I don't like you. And then he was just like, floor it and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And that's just like, sell it at the floor price of the NFT. And then if people feel that way, the floor dropped by several ETH. They were above Pudgy Pandas or Pudgy Penguins. They were supposed to be a blue chip. And Doodles has just dumped.
One of the originals.
They're not bringing anything new to the table. They don't have like a proper plan.
Well, these NFTs that are on there.
It's just dumb. It's just like they don't really have any plans. You're just like, oh, this is hyped and this is what just we all
think.
And then why is this worth so much? Oh, who's the team behind it? Okay, what are they saying?
What are you planning to do?
We're not an NFT brand anymore? How are you saying that?
It is an NFT. What?
And you're like, we're going to pivot. And it's like, and then that's the thing is, that's why I respect the Compact Pandas, where it's like.
Well, even Pudgy Penguins, too. They're like continuously like trying to monetize.
They're doing different things and new things.
And same with Bored Apes, too. They're like having theme, you know, theme parks, potentially, like, you know, Pudgy Penguins filed trademark applications.
Well, the big thing is Luca Nuts.
You know, they got toys.
The idea is that it's IP and that
yeah.
They're going to transfer their NFT clout into the real world.
Yeah.
And what Icebag said is he was like, you have to make a business and then add the NFT part of it and make it interesting. So the Kunpai Pandas, they're doing the Pepe Dex, the Panda Points. Decentralized exchange, where they're adding a flavor of the NFTs, but they're bringing on the real world events as well as the real world sponsors. So they have John Jones and these fighters. They're going to be doing competitive karate. We're trying to go to Pandemonium in August. So it's real live events. So what is the real value of being part of this club? But if Doodles is just a JPEG.
They're like saying they're not even a JPEG company. They're
yeah. Just like, what is the significance? And then
it's useless.
Who are these people?
Just turning your back.
Who are these people that you're trusting with your money? How do you believe that they're going to actually provide you value? But my theory is that they're like really just making it so that it's a market. People are going to gamble. People want to trade JPEGs. NFTs aren't going away.
Yeah.
I think that they'll get bigger in a different way, but the market got flooded, but like you actually have to bring value to be worth value.
Yeah.
So then I don't know, but NFTs
we're
are really interesting.
We're all this uncertainty yeah. right now. But, and then like, I don't know, we're kind of going into shills, but
yeah,
I don't really have anything to shills. Everything's so shaky where it's like, oh, I have so much uncertainty where it's like, oh, do I rotate into just have a bunch of Bitcoin or ETH, or you know, do I buy like some Coinbase stock or like just have cash? Like, super hard right now. I don't know. I do not feel confident in chilling anything right now.
I think that the Pudgy Penguin ecosystem, because with the Brian briefly mentioned it, but we didn't go in depth with
trademark applications.
The trademark applications, and then what they trademarked. Let me pull it up. Where
it's basically the face, the penguin face, the logo.
But they wanted the penguin face and logo to be able to do food goods, retail stuff. The applications is that they're trying to become a globally recognized brand.
Yeah.
They're trying to be like the Chester the Cheetah type stuff. And I think that they're just attacking it the right way, where they're like, they're almost the NFT people that are attacking the real world.
Yeah, and they're trying to merge together.
I just think that they have a strong CEO, and
yeah.
The NFTs and the crypto, you got to look at them as like businesses.
Yeah,
in terms of yeah, I mean, I'd also shill Bitcoin, where I'm just like, yeah. People are
the banks looking real shifty
yeah.
right now,
because otherwise things are risky and people are trying to de-risk.
Yeah,
so the cycle of altcoins. I mean, I think that things are going to go lower. And as people get more scared, they move to Bitcoin.
So there you have it. That was another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. Thanks for listening.
Shout out Smithy. Yeah.
Shout out our loyal listener, Smithy. Peace.
Peace.